Then Crowley shook his head.
"What was I saying?" he said.
"Dunno," said Aziraphale. "Nothing very important, I think." Crowley nodded gloomily.
"Let me tempt you to some lunch," he hissed. They went to the Ritz again, where a table was mysteriously vacant. And perhaps the recent exertions had had some fallout in the nature of reality, because, while they were eating, for the first time ever, a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. No one heard it over the noise of the traffic, but it was there right enough.
It was 1 o'clock on Sunday. For the last decade, Sunday lunch in Witchfinder Sergeant Shadwell's world had followed an invariable routine. He would sit at the rickety, cigarette-burned table in his room, thumbing through an elderly copy of one of the Witchfinder Army libraries, a Witchfinder Corporal Carpet librarian, 11 pence per annum bonus, books on magic and demonology, the Necro Telecomnicon, or the Liber Fulvarum Paganarum, or his old favourite, the Malleus Maleficarum. A relentless blockbuster of a book, heartily recommended, Pope Innocent VIII. Then there would be a knock at the door, and Madame Tracy would call out, "Lunch, Mr. Shadwell," and Shadwell would mutter, "Shameless hussy," and wait 60 seconds to allow the shameless hussy time to get back into her room. Then he'd open the door and pick up the plate of liver, which was usually carefully covered by another plate to keep it warm, and he'd take it in, and he'd eat it, taking moderate care not to spill any gravy on the pages he was reading. To the right collector, the Witchfinder Army's library would have been worth millions. The right collector would have to have been very rich, and not mind gravy-stained cigarette burns, marginal notations, or the late Witchfinder Lance Corporal Watling's passion for drawing moustaches and spectacles on all woodcut illustrations of witches and demons. That was what always happened. Except that on that Sunday, it didn't. For a start, he wasn't reading. He was just sitting. And when the knock came on the door, he got up immediately and opened it. He needn't have hurried. There was no plate. There was just Madame Tracy, wearing a cameo brooch and an unfamiliar shade of lipstick. She was also standing in the centre of a perfume zone.
"Hi, Jezebel."
Madame Tracy's voice was bright and fast and brittle, with uncertainty.
"Hello, mistress. I was just thinking, after all we've been through the last 2 days, seems silly for me to leave a plate out for you, so I've set a place for you. Come on."
"Mr. S.," Shadwell followed warily. He'd had another dream last night. He didn't remember it properly, just one phrase that still echoed in his head and disturbed him. The dream had vanished into a haze like the events of the previous night. "It was this. Nothing wrong with witch-finding. I'd like to be a witch-finder. It's just, well, you've got to take it in turns. Today we'll go out witch-finding, and tomorrow we could hide, and it'll be the witch's turn to find us." For the second time in 24 hours, for the second time in his life, he entered Madame Tracy's rooms. "Sit down there," she told him, pointing to an armchair. It had an antimacassar on the headrest, a plumped-up pillow on the seat, and a small footstool. He sat down. She placed a tray on his lap and watched him eat, and removed his plate when he'd finished. Then she opened a bottle of Guinness, poured it into a glass and gave it to him, then sipped her tea while he slurped his stout. When she put a cup down, it tinkled nervously in the saucer. "I've got a tidy bit put away," she said, apropos of nothing. "And, you know, I sometimes think it'd be nice to get a little bungalow in the country somewhere, move out of London. I'd call it the Laurels, or Dunromin, or,
Shangri-La,"
suggested Shadwell, and for the life of him he could not think why.
"Exactly, Mr. S., exactly, Shangri-La,"
she smiled at him. "Are you comfy, love?" Shadwell realised with dawning horror that he was comfortable, horribly, terrifyingly comfortable.
"Aye," he said warily.
He had never been so comfortable. Madame Tracy opened another bottle of Guinness and placed it in front of him.
"Only trouble with having a little bungalow called... What was your clever idea, mistress?"
Shangri-La.
"Shangri-La, exactly. Is that it's not right for one, is it? I mean, two people. They say two can live as cheaply as one."
"Or 518, thought Shadwell, remembering the massed ranks of the Witchfinder Army. She giggled.
"I just wonder where I could find someone to settle down with."
Shadwell realised that she was talking about him. He wasn't sure about this. He had a distinct feeling that leaving Witchfinder Private Pulsifer with the young lady in Tadfield had been a bad move, as far as the Witchfinder Army Book of Rules and Regulations was concerned, and this seemed even more dangerous. Still, at his age, when you're getting too old to go crawling about in the long grass, when the chill morning dew gets into your bones, and tomorrow we could hide, and it'd be the witch's turn to find us. Madame Tracy opened another bottle